Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy. We are in class with Joseph, Lessons in God's Plan. In today's session, we'll be looking at Genesis 39, verses 1 to 23, the training course for God's plan. Let's read that chapter. Genesis chapter 39, beginning with verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he made him overseer of his house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus, he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now, Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she said, "Lie with me." But he refused, and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one in this house greater than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" So it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work and none of the men of the house was inside that she caught him by his garment saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. And so it was when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of the house and spoke to them, saying, "See, he has brought into us a Hebrew to mock us. He came into me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside." So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came into me to mock me. So it happened as I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled outside. So it was when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, 'The servant did to me after this manner,' that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper." Where was Joseph when we left him? Well, chapter 37, verse 36. The Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard. Where do we find Joseph now? Chapter 39, verse 1. Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. We have, listen to me, we have the advantage of seeing Joseph's life, his whole life together. But he had to experience it one day at a time. What did God have planned as Joseph's life purpose? Well, this passage is about leadership preparation. Let's see the story. Joseph fell from his place of favor into slavery. But verses 1 through 6 record that he regained a special position. Kind of zoom in on verse 5 and then look at verse 3. Verse 5, so it was when from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. And then look at verse 3. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. God was overseeing the circumstances of Joseph's life. He found favor, gave him favor, verses 4, verse 21. Blessed him, blessing, verse 5. Showed him mercy, verse 21. God was in control, making him successful as overseer of the house. Joseph was very much in charge. He had authority. Potiphar made him overseer of his house and all that he had, verse 5. And he had trust. He left all that he had in Joseph's hand, verse 6. In the process of leadership preparation, Joseph had to learn an important lesson by resisting a sinful proposition. That's what verses 7 all the way down to verse 18 are all about. Verse 9, look at it. And then go back and look at the second part of verse 6. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept anything back from me but you, because you're his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And then the second part of verse 6. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Listen to what he said. He said, how can I do this great wickedness? We're called to have convictions. Have convictions based on God's word. Joseph had the utmost respect for his master. What about you and your master, Jesus? Joseph was committed to a holy life before God. Psalm 51 and verse 4. The first part of it, King David says, against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. Her continual efforts failed. She couldn't seduce him. He had strong convictions with no yielding. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. At the most intense moment of temptation, Joseph fled. Hey, hold on a second. Notice the reference to his garment in verse 12. Once again, a piece of Joseph's clothing was used in a conspiracy against him. Verse 17 is interesting to note. It's the old shift the blame game that began in the Garden of Eden Adam to Eve, Eve to the snake, and now Potiphar's wife to Potiphar. The Hebrew servant whom you brought to us. Listen, the path of leadership, preparation, often takes unusual turns. Verses 19 to 23 bring Joseph back to a shameful place. The key here is verse 20. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in the prison. God's providence is in action. Even in prison, Joseph would be called to Pharaoh from that prison, from that place. Joseph again rose to a place of authority and trust. But this chapter ends similar to chapter 37. Why did this happen to Joseph again? Yeah, as a church body, we can never win spiritual battles corporately unless the war is first waged on a personal level. There are three sections to Joseph's rise and fall here. The rise as a favored steward, the encounter with temptation, and the fall into prison. God was training Joseph to be a leader. Now, you might say, he sure uses a strange school. Well, let me ask you, why is Satan able to bring down so many Christians with sinful habits? Many are leaders, supposedly the more spiritually mature. This isn't God's plan. He wants us to succeed in his ministry. But look at 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. What do we learn about the world? We're not to love the world. Everything in the world is ultimately evil. The world is passing away and everything in it. Three areas must be controlled in order for God's servant to be found faithful. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We cannot serve God while bound by these powerful strongholds. The example of Joseph, the lust of the eyes. Joseph went from being a son to becoming a steward. Christians must learn to be faithful stewards of Christ. Who should get recognition for ministry? Well, give credit to others. Give glory to God. And God will reward us in his timing. The lust of the flesh. Joseph was tested regarding moral purity. Verse 12, but he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. Charles Spurgeon, in his July 25th morning devotional, he wrote, in contending with certain sins, there remains no mode of victory but by flight. He who would be saved from acts of evil must haste away from occasions of it. It is true, I may be an apparent loser by declining evil company, but I had better leave my cloak than lose my character. And then the pride of life. Joseph went from praise to prison by way of slavery. Positions bring with them occasion for pride, and leadership roles bring with them positions. But God will not have attitudes of pride in his servants. Joseph went from favored son to slavery. Then he went from favored steward to prison. Proverbs 15, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Was Joseph humble? Did God ensure that he wasn't prideful? It was even a false accusation. Is God's plan for us any different than his plan for Joseph? God is developing faithfulness in us. Look at Psalm 90, verse 10. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. How was Joseph able to withstand that learning process of God? Well, think of the great hymn, Amazing Grace. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing his praise than when we just begun. 70 years is nothing compared to 10,000 years. And 10,000 years is nothing compared to eternity. Joseph focused on eternal things. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. So many Christians are, as someone once wrote, forever persons playing around with passing away stuff. You have a great day.